Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
And welcome back in for another hour, everybody. Jake Ballbrock, TJ Cleland, happy to be with you on a Friday. We've got a lot coming for you. We're going to make some football picks a little bit later in this hour. A lot of topics. We had a great CFP last night. Thanks to Jalen Thompson for talking a little Royals with us there. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Everything coming for you this hour is on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager, Bock, yeah. Cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all three WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. 869-1240, the hotline is open. You can call in, tell me I'm a doofus for not reeling college football divisions went away a couple of years ago. Didn't even realize.
What an idiot.
In the Big 10 in the SEC. But you do have me thinking, should it come back in the Big 12? I wonder that a lot. And I wouldn't hate it. And I don't hate your idea either of having the two division winners get in and having to play in the opening round, making the opening round. But then again, you still got to have a conference championship game. Still got to have a championship game.
To be fair, I did not say that. I said nothing about divisions. I said just the top two should get in. We don't need divisions for that.
Oh, I thought you said split them up into divisions and then have the two division winners.
I just meant play whatever your conference championship game was going to be.
It's the same problem, though. You would basically just have to turn conference championship games into the opening round of the CFP.
That's what I'm saying, yes.
They're not going to go for that, though, because that's a revenue loss at that point. You'd lose that. So that I don't think anybody would go for that. I don't hate the idea of divisions, by the way, the Big 12, we're not going to have even schedules anymore. So the division thing could be okay. I get why it's a problem, right? You have situations where teams don't play a very good schedule to get there, but Indiana had that same issue last year where they didn't really play anybody to get out to their unbeaten season. That was my problem with Indiana a year ago. They didn't play. That wasn't the case this year, obviously, but last year it was. But either way. And then the other thing, Alec Marsh didn't have surgery until November. Why did that take so long? I thought there was a chance he's back in September this year. Well, that sucks hard. Why did they not have... I was just looking that back up. It's like the second week of November, I think. That's brutal. Not that they don't have the depth. The Royals will be fine. I just don't know why they waited so long. I mean, we knew he was hurt forever last season. Like, what would you wait for in that situation?
While we're talking baseball, I want to bring this up for our shorter segment here. I brought this up to you yesterday at the office. Rob Manfred floated out the idea to WFAN that he's considering the idea of implementing both a split season and an in-season tournament to the MLB schedule.
No.
Not bad idea.
Bad idea. Baseball's beauty is baseball's time of the year that it plays. Baseball's beauty is that there's nothing else happening. Baseball's beauty is that in our busiest, we're in the summertime. Hell, it's hard now. Like, you'll see this at some point over the next year. Like, we don't get to devote as much time and energy to it as we did when we were younger. We don't get to devote as much time and energy into sports viewership in the summertime either. And the beauty of baseball is there's 162 of them. There's nothing else going on. It's a casual viewing experience. You can't mess with that. That's why they never should make the game, that they should never make the schedule shorter. They shouldn't do any of that. Like, mess with the fact that you've got games on every day in the slowest part of the sports calendar.
I will say I am more so on board for an in-season tournament than I am a split season. The split season is a bad idea. If I'm thinking of this correctly, that's the minor league baseball model where you play 81 games.
Okay. Well, that's dumb still. That's very dumb.
Yeah. What did you think that was?
I thought you meant play it like with a gap in between for some reason, for some dumb reason.
No.
Like you take a month off or something. And I don't know, but you're talking about just for the, no, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah. I think
minor leagues, it's smart because you have call ups.
Exactly. And minor league, you do it because it's not the same team in October that it is in whatever, May. And so in the MLB, it's not the case, though. I think that every game should matter towards a playoff run, not be if you won the first half of the season to get in the playoffs. That's what it is in minor league baseball. They don't need to do that. An in-season tournament, though, I honestly am okay with thinking about that idea more so. But they can't do how the NBA does it to where it's like, all right, Friday night are the NBA Cup games. This matters towards your group play, and that's what's going to set up the bracket.
You couldn't do it because we already have – like, we have innings restrictions. Like, anytime you think about any of this with baseball, just think about, okay, well, what do you do with the pitchers, right? Like, you're going to – does that mean you're adding more? Are you taking games away somewhere else? Like,
if they were going to do this, the hard part of doing an in-season tournament is that it would take – basically a month off of the league to do this, because that's how, you know, and in the playoffs, like, and obviously those are 7-game series, but like it takes a month and a half to get to a World Series champion half the time. And so it's like, what do you do to, like, if it was a single elimination baseball tour, like, it'd be fun, but it would just be impossible to do without saying like, all right, if you're eliminated, just take 3 weeks off.
What are they playing for?
I don't know. Give them $1 million like the NBA does.
Yeah, no, I think we have a great tournament in baseball that's played every year. It's called the playoffs, and that's fine. It's good.
It's true, but it's, I mean, I'm with him. I'm not with him, but I do think that it's hard, and you and I can agree on this. Whenever there's 162 games, like, it's the hardest sport to stay engaged with, because it's just like, well, they lost. That means nothing.
I actually think it's the easiest to stay engaged with if your team is competitive. I don't think, listen.
But even if your team is good in June.
I don't agree with that, because I will get, you'll find out this summer, I guess. Like, losses piss me off. If the team's good, like, it doesn't matter if it's a Tuesday in August. Like, if the Rangers, the Royals, especially now, because like if they're on a Tuesday and they blow a lead in the seventh inning, like I'm hot the entire next day. Like,
I am too, and I'm a baseball sicko. I'm just saying, the reason why the NFL is the greatest moneymaker in sports is because every game matters. And that's the hard part about baseball, is the way that they've built the model is that every game doesn't matter. And
the division by one game.
I know, in hindsight, it happens and things of that nature. But like, the thing I always tell people is that, like, for us, you go cover a Royals game on a Sunday afternoon against the Guardians and they lose, you go in the locker room and they're just, you know, it's like, yeah, it sucks. We wanted to win that game. We ought to go game tomorrow, you know?
I think all of it is based on how competitive you are. I mean, it was that vibe the last 3 weeks of the Chiefs season, 4 weeks of the Chiefs season.
Well, yeah.
So it just, like, if you're good, if you're competitive, like that's why, like, it's everything. Like, with the Royals right now, it's been more fun than it has been in a decade the last couple of years, because they're good. And every day we can talk about them, because if you're into it, you're like, that impacts my next day. Like, that's going to have an impact on how I feel the next day. And the beauty of baseball is you get right back out there. You don't have to stew on it for a week. Like, you can have the roller coaster of a competitive baseball team, I'll always say, is the most fun thing to me in sports. It's not, you know, I'm not telling you that I love, you know, baseball more than I love the NFL at this point in life. That's probably not true. But the ride of a good baseball season is the most fulfilling.
It is, but you don't realize that you're in it until you get to August or September. Right. And then that's the best month in baseball. If you're in September and your team is competitive, that is the most fun you'll have watching the sport. 100%. I'm with you on that.
I just think one of the strengths of baseball is that it's the summer. Like, there's a billion things going on, especially if you have kids. Like, you literally have stuff every day. Like, you're just like, this time of year in the fall, it is a fight to get to the TV. Like, these early tip times, like, let's say it's a 6:30 tip time. Like, man, I'm probably not getting to that game till the second half. Like, just because I've got like soccer practice or whatever. Like, there's just something every day. In the summertime, yeah, you're busy. You might be around, but at 7 o'clock on a win, like, you ain't that busy. You're probably able to just turn on the game. Like, what's going on? I'll just turn on the game. You know, that's,
I agree that it's beautiful that there is something on TV every night and it's always your team. That's the hard part too of the NBA. Why I've lost my interest in that throughout the years is that it's just like, well, what's on tonight? It's like, oh, I can watch the Spurs Rockets. I don't care about that game at all.
We have an attention span. Like, we only have so much capacity. So for me, and the reason, like, college football, and I've said this a million times on this show, the reason things slip through the cracks or I don't pay as much attention to the SEC or the Big Ten, I don't have time. I barely have time to pay attention to KU and K-State, let alone what's going on in the conference that they play in. So when things happen in the other leagues anymore, like, it's harder for me to get there. In the NFL, like, you watch your team, like, the NFL's beauty is that it's owned a day of the week. But with baseball, like, you're just, our attention, we don't have as many things fighting it as we do this time of year. So to say we shouldn't play baseball the way, like, I think the beauty and the strength of baseball is that it's every day in the time of year where we can pay attention to it every day. If they played baseball, if we played Major League Baseball in the fall, doesn't it, like, it would, I don't think it would be the same. It would, because we just wouldn't be able to watch it as often.
Probably. Yeah. Anyways, back to the original point here. If they could, it would have to be something along the lines of like what the NBA is trying to do of the, like, the All-Star tournament now, which is a crazy idea too. It would have to be like All-Star break week. The top 8 teams in baseball are playing single elimination for the week, and then we'll name a winner on Sunday, play the home run derby before the game or something. Like, you know what I mean? But yeah, the All-Star game is also fun in baseball. I don't know. Nick, that is myself.
We also have the World Baseball Classic, which I don't want to overlook.
It's in March.
I know. It's before the season, but it is a little something special and extra. Maybe you could play it a little more often. I'd be down with that. But we'll come back. We've got football picks when we return. Don't go away.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Commercials are over.
Dude, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. We got the full gang in this morning to make some picks. Back on schedule. It's a Friday. We are going to pick 7 games because there wasn't really a good way to break it up. One more CFP and 6 NFL playoff games this weekend and into Monday Night Football. So we'll pick 7. We're going to start running out of games soon enough. So that means we've got a little less time to get through each one. So real quick, TJ, where do things stand coming into the week?
Jacob, let me tell you, my OCD is going crazy because now we're picking 7 games. I had to change my spreadsheet format. I had to add a row. This is pissing me off.
Sorry,
Last week, we had three of us go 3-3. Jacob, TJ, and Brandon all went 3-3 because Brandon and I had the same exact picks last week. Paul went 2-4. Tommy with another 1-5 week, back-to-back 1-5 weeks. Jacob leads 60-59. TJ and Brandon both at 59-60. The other guys, they're out of it. Who cares?
All right. I wouldn't say Paul's out of it yet, but bold. He's going to have to get bold here.
Yeah, I've got to think outside the box, Jacob. That's what I'm going to do. After all, I'm champion until otherwise.
All right, let's get it started. Max, hit the music.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, we're going to start with the other CFP, Oregon, Indiana. I'll go first in the overall lead. Indiana's a 3.5-point favorite. Boy, this one's hard. Indiana is the wagon, I think, in this, but Oregon's defense was so dang good last time. I think I'm going to take the points here. I think we're going to get another close game. It was 3.5 last night. It was a 4-point outcome. I think it'll be another close game. Because I'm having a hard time picking it, I'll just default to taking the points. Give me Oregon plus 3.5. Brandon?
Love that you're on Oregon because I'm on Indiana. This is where the tides turn, and we'll be both have 60 wins going into the weekend. I love it.
TJ.
I'm taking Indiana as well. They're really good at football, so I'm going to pick them.
All right, Tommy, what do you think?
I mean, you guys have told me I'm out of it, so I don't know if it really matters who I'm picking. So
for guys, well,
might as well hang out here. I'm going to take Oregon. I'll take those points because why not? I've got nothing to lose.
Paul, break the tie.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tommy's taking Oregon. I think I probably am smart to take Indiana. And by the way, I'll pick one up on you too, Jacob.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the NFL. Rams, the big favorite this weekend. 10.5. 10.5 is where I've got this number. Brandon, you comfortable with 10.5 points in an NFL playoff game?
I mean, I was comfortable with taking the points in Miami, Ohio State, or Ohio State, Michigan, but thank God for picking. Finally, a big spread. Go ahead and give me the Rams. They ran all over the Panthers a couple weeks ago. Would have won if it wasn't for two Stafford picks. So, yeah, Rams get it done this time.
TJ.
I am going to take 10.5 points in a playoff game. What an absurd number. The Panthers are the feel-good story of my life. I'm taking those points.
Tommy.
Again, doesn't really matter what I pick, so let's have some fun. I'm going to roll the dice and take the points. Give me Carolina.
Paul.
You know something? That is a lot of points, but I don't really care. Already you got TJ. He's taking the points. So, you know, I'm going to give the points. I'm going to go ahead and I'm hold on just a second. Okay.
Wait.
I'm torn on this because I think.
Come on, Lee Corso.
I've got to make up ground. I'm just going opposite TJ. Who did you take, TJ? I forgot.
Carolina.
I'm taking the Rams.
That's what it's, we're back, baby. We're back. Look, I this is the hardest year I think it has been to pick a Super Bowl champion based like once we get to this point, but I think it's the Rams for me, so I'll take the Rams. I think they're way better than Carolina. They're going to go on the road and win by 11 points. I guess we'll find out. Packers, Bears. TJ, you're first here. Bears, 1.5-point home dogs.
I talked to Peyton Sanders yesterday at Storm Team 12, and he told me there might be snow flurries in this game. If you're giving me points at home in Soldier Field in a snow game, I take it Chicago every time.
I hear Chris Berman in the back of my head with this game calling the highlights. Tommy, it's been since Chris Berman was relevant that the Bears have been competitive against the Packers, probably. Is now the time?
Well, I think the question becomes who's got more pressure? Is it Matt LaFleur or Ben Johnson? And it's absolutely Matt LaFleur. So I'm going to take the Packers for that. I'm going to lay the 1.5. I think Green Bay can get it done.
That's what you're stubbornly supposed to say. Man. The Packers are Super Bowl champion, and I'm going to stick with them. I mean, they're alive. You still got them. My Ravens-Lions Super Bowl prediction is not working out so well. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think I have missed on the Bears a lot this year. And I've got a feeling that this may be the Bears game. By the way, both these teams are located where it gets cold. So, I mean, you know, you can go out and practice outside if you want. If you're the Bears, you're going to get used to – you'll be used to the cold. I'm not so worried about the weather on this particular game. I think the Bears probably – pick this game up? Is it going to be close? Yeah. Is it going to go down to the last minute? Yeah. Is it going to go down to possibly a field goal? Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bears.
Packers are one of the very few teams I don't particularly want to see make a Super Bowl run. That's one reason. And the other is, man, I can't quit the possibility of a game in Chicago where the Bears finally get that monkey off their back to beat the Packers and to advance in the playoffs. Give me the Bears and the point and a half. That brings us, Brandon, you got to finish this off on this one.
Chris Berman, call back. The Packers going back to the divisional round. They're going to cover and win.
That's what they do. Bills, Jags. Tommy, you'll be up first here. Jags are 1-point home dogs.
I'm going to take Jacksonville solely because, Jacob, you think that they're a fraud.
Well, to be fair, I don't anymore. Yes, I'm
going to take the Jags, and I'm just going to say Duval.
Paul?
Well, listen, the Bills are a quality team no matter how you slice it right now. It's hard to go against quality. It's hard to go against, I guess, a tradition of this particular episode of the history of the Bills. I'm going to take the Bills just based upon, dang, guys, they're still a really good football team.
I infamously and incorrectly, for what Tommy's referencing, if you're just listening, have been calling the Broncos and the Jags frauds all year for fun. I was wrong about the Jags. They're not frauds. They're very good. And they got better at the trade deadline, and it's showing. And Trevor Lawrence is a little bit unlocked. And I actually think they may be up and down, top to bottom, a more talented team than Buffalo. But Buffalo has Josh Allen. This is Josh Allen's opportunity. We've seen him wear the Superman cape plenty of times. This might be Buffalo's worst team of this little recent era. But I'm going to take the Bills and make the Jags earn it. This is a Josh Allen bet. I'll lay the point and take him, and I'm good with it. Brandon?
Yeah, I think this is my least favorite game to pick of the weekend. But if the Bills don't win, Sean McDermott probably is looking for a job come Monday. Go ahead and give me the Bills.
Boy, that's an interesting opening, too, with John Harbaugh on the market if that comes available. TJ?
Tommy, I'm going to throw you a bone. Enjoy your island down in Florida. I'm taking the Bills.
Let's go. That's a good island. Jacksonville is playing so freaking well right now. All right, 49ers, Eagles. Eagles are 5-point home favorites. Good luck, Paul. Good luck with this one.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. This is really tears me up. 5 points is a lot. Do I think the 49ers are going to win? I don't know. I guess it just depends upon how Purdy plays. I don't know. I have a tough feet. Hold on just a second. Help me out, Max. Who do you got, 49ers or, you know, you're as good as me on this one, 49ers or Eagles?
Who's the Super Bowl champion?
Okay. Is that your pick?
Yes.
All right, we'll go with
Saquon Barkley could finally have a good game and run. And
all right, I'm going.
A.J. Brown. Come
all right.
On, Paul.
Well, I'm sorry about that, Max. I'm taking the 49ers.
There we go. There it is. Pull the rug out. I despise both of these teams on a personal level. I keep saying, like, the Eagles will be fine when they get there. Man, they haven't looked good in forever. They find ways to win these games, but at least we've seen the 49ers look really good at times down the stretch here. I'm going to take 5 points in the 49ers, and I actually feel okay about that. Brandon?
This is the weirdest spread of the weekend. Just in the sake of gamesmanship, I'm also going to take the 49ers.
TJ?
Just in the sake of gamesmanship, I'm also going to take the 49ers.
All right. Tommy?
you're going to give me a Philly island.
Come on.
Do it. We all know you love Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. Just take it.
I hate Nick Sirianni. I hate the Eagles. And I actually really like the Niners. I guess the only shred that makes me feel okay about taking an Eagles island is the fact that even though Brock Purdy looked really good for a few weeks coming back, he looked really bad last week in that final game. That's, I guess, the only justification I can give. So I will reluctantly take Philly. I'll take that island all day the 5.
After everything Brock Purdy did for you in the fantasy football playoffs, you're going to turn
your back.
He
won me a championship.
I'm aware. I'm very aware. Chargers at Patriots, -3.5. Paul, you get to start. No, you started us off last time, didn't you?
No.
Or did you?
No, I'll go ahead and start it right now. I'll tell you what. I have missed on the Patriots all year long. I'm ashamed of myself. And I call myself a football guy. What's wrong with me? I've taken the Patriots, and I'm finally getting on board.
You're just in the same room as Max, and you're scared. You can admit it. It's okay. You can admit it. You know
All
what,
right.
Max?
All right, I'm scared.
You know what, Max? Stick it in your Patriot takes, and your can't get past the last 20 years.
Hop on there,
my
Max.
My wife lives in the same house as me, and she is loosely used to be a Chargers fan.
Max, you don't have to take that.
I'm going to take the Chargers. I'm going to take the 3.5 here. I'm taking a lot of points in this week, and it's dangerous, but I'm going to take the Chargers. Get out there and earn it, Patriots. We all know they've played a soft schedule.
The Chargers. So did the 99 Rams.
Oh, there you go, Max. Attaboy.
There he is.
There he comes.
What happened, what happened?
What happened when Brady walked in Arrowhead?
Rams team
what happened?
Your Patriots.
What happened when Brady walked in Arrowhead?
Give me the Chargers plus 3.5. I'll take L.A. and call them the San Diego Chargers this weekend. Brandon?
I respect your time. Tommy, give me the give me the Patriots.
TJ.
I'm taking the Patriots, too, even though every time we get Max excited about the Patriots, he says it's a rebuilding year. He's hedging already. I'm not. Patriots are good.
They're very good. They're very good. I think the Chargers are good, too. Can Herbert get it done, though, Tommy, running for his life most likely in this game?
Yeah, no. The Patriots are, in my opinion, a wagon. I think Mike Vrabel is probably the best coach in the NFL. Give me the Patriots. I'm going to lay the 3.5.
3.5 points. Okay, and then Monday Night Football. Texans and Steelers comes back around to me. I think it should have on the last one, but we'll do it on this one. So Steelers are 3-point home dogs. Guys, I've struggled with this one. And I'm struggling with the fact that I don't really like Pittsburgh, but I keep falling for this old man Rodgers story. I'm taking the Texans, though, because I think that the Steelers are vulnerable over the top. Nico Collins and CJ Stroud have found a little mojo. And that defense is going to make it a not fun experience for the old man. Give me the Texans. I'll lay the points. Brandon?
Give me the Texans, and hopefully we never have to watch Aaron Rodgers play another football game after this.
Wow. You haven't been entertained this year by old man Rodgers?
I'm a Vikings fan. Come on.
That's true. All right, TJ?
I'm taking the Steelers. I'll fade both of you. This is my time to shine.
Okay, it is. You can make a comeback. I mean, Rodgers and Tomlin, are you in this? Are you in on this, Paul? You're Mr. Hard Knocks and all the great behind-the-scenes storylines. Have you bought into any of this?
You know something? I think I'm going to at least this week. I'm going to take the Steelers, and here's part of the reason. It's a fascinating story. Is Rodgers playing his last pro football season? We don't know. I think it's fascinating. If he is, I think it's an interesting story, and it's a story that this is going to be a football team that rallies to their Hall of Famer, and they're going to win a Super Bowl for him. It could be feast or famine for the Steelers. I'm going to bet on the feast for the moment. I'm taking the Steelers.
You know, Tommy, the Chiefs could maybe need a quarterback the first few weeks of the season. Rodgers could be out there. You know,
I heard he is the NFL MVP.
Yeah, don't even float that into the universe. That's a really dangerous thing to be talking about. I think, you know, you guys that have picked the Steelers, you're forgetting that the Houston Texans are the hottest team in the National Football League right now for a reason. I'm going to take the Texans. I'm going to lay the 3 on the road. I think that they're going to get it done.
I feel like there is a 100% chance we get the classic Aaron Rodgers stands up from a sack with a big chunk of turf in his face mask because the Texans' pass rush just annihilated him. I think there's a pretty decent chance at that, too. That's the picks, fellas. We got through 7 games. We got through it quick. Good luck this weekend. Everybody enjoy the CFP tonight and some NFL playoff football all weekend long, minus the Kansas City Chiefs. Weird. Weird,
weird
stuff.
Weird,
Tommy
weird.
Brandon, thanks.
See you guys.
What'd
there
you
they
say,
go.
TJ?
Well, I said, let's recap here. We got 3 islands on the table, and Tommy's got 2 of them, Jags and Eagles, and Jacob got himself a Chargers island. I don't know if you caught that one. You have a Chargers island as we're all
like
riding
that.
On the
path. I'm good with the Chargers island. I can't believe Tommy took a Jags island. And I'm the guy who's been giving the Jags a hard time a lot of the year. The Jags are really good. Like, they're really good. That is a talented team. It's really, and I know it's Lawrence's, you know, explosion here late that's made them come out of it. I guess get out there and prove it. That's why I'm taking Buffalo.
Man, this is gonna be cinema down the stretch. TJ and Jacob have 4 picks that differ from each other, and Jacob and Brandon have 3 picks that differ from each other. So something
lead. That's right on you guys. One game.
Something is going to give. Yes, you have a 1-game lead on us.
Oh boy. Paul, I don't know what – I mean, this is uncharted territory for you.
I know, but I know the term frauds have been thrown around a little bit, at least today, and I got to think to myself, hey, you're in the playoffs. Does that – how many frauds actually make it to the playoffs? That's my question to you guys.
Well, I mean, fraud is a fun term that I've been goading the rest of you with all year, but Denver is not winning a Super Bowl. How about that? And they're the one seed. Does that make them a fraud? wins the Super Bowl, I'm gonna have to like take a week off.
I hope that people come out of the woodworks on this, especially like on TV when all the crap we've talked on Denver. Whenever we have people in Goodland watching us,
the thing that makes me feel better about it. And like, this is one of those, like, you got to just dig your heels in and eat it. But we're not the only ones, by the way. Like, that does give me a little solace as I look around and I see people like, yeah, man, they're just actually not that good.
I agree. If the Jags or the Broncos win the Super Bowl, I think I'm just going to tweet Jacob's personal cell phone number.
I've said for 3 weeks now, and it's been a fun thing all year. The Jags they got really good. They got way better over the course of the season. Like they're the difference between the Jaguars and that annoying, which I think is probably when this started, is right around the time they played the Chiefs. The difference between that Jags team and the Jags team we've seen the last 3 or 4 weeks is significant. Like they got way better. And it's on Trevor Lawrence. He deserves a lot of credit for it because he's taken a lot of crap. So good for him. I actually also like the Jags. I don't like Denver very much.
They got Jacoby Myers, Jacob. That's why they got better.
Yeah, they did. That's exactly why. Jacoby Myers, your boy. He's severely underrated, and he's been great. Brian Thomas Jr.'s had a bad year. What if I'd have told you the Jags are going to have this great year and Brian Thomas Jr. wouldn't be very good at all?
I would have laughed at you. That's what would have happened.
It is what it is. I'm happy for him.
Quick question.
Quick
question for the both of you guys real quick. Miami last night looked really good, really physical again. How would you guys have picked that game last night if we were picking today? Just how would you guys have picked that game last night?
I don't know. It was a coin flip for me. I mean, okay. It was a 4-point game, so it was a coin flip on the line too. I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing now that I've seen the outcome.
I would have probably taken the points, and I would have gotten hooked there at the end and started screaming.
A couple things that we have gotten to and that we have yet to get to that we'll cram in here to the last segment. Real quick, Terry McCauley on something we talked about in the first hour, the last play of that game last night. Terry McCauley, the official, chimes in on social media this morning saying, yes, that was pass interference. He says only at the end. He thought all the contact up until the very end was fine, but said it was definitely pass interference at the end of that play. That's a tough way to, it's a tough pill to swallow if you're Ole Miss.
Yes, it is.
Now, they still got to go make a play. So I'm not like outraged or anything by it this morning, but I do like, you got to make that call. If you're the officials, they had good position on it too. They were standing right there. Like, don't be afraid to blow the whistle late. Like it was pass interference.
Mindset though, Jacob,
did you think it was pass interference, Paul?
Well, mindset of an official is, I don't want to be that guy that changes the course, the outcome of the course of a football game, particularly a game that's the final four. I do not want to be that guy because that stays with you for a long, long time. I get it. I understand why they don't want to do it because that'll make them the guy. And I get it, but I'll tell you what, it takes a lot of guts to throw that flag. I'm sympathetic to the officials because they don't want to do it. But on the other hand, Jacob, I think we can make a case that particular play, they did not get it right. So let's.
I mean, are we sympathetic? You have a job to do, which is to call penalties when you see the penalties.
Therein lies the dilemma.
I'm afraid of making a call,
but they don't want to be that guy.
Of a college football playoff game.
Yeah.
A couple other things that have come up in the last little bit. I want to get to the Royals, which we didn't get to Jalen Thompson, but on the news with FanDuel. But before we do that, college basketball, TJ, a couple of things that have stood out. The K-State took 36 threes and that loss to Arizona. Jerome Tang says he wishes they'd take a few more.
That's right.
That's certainly something.
Best thing I saw from that was a clip from Sweet Life of Zach and Cody back in the day. It was, good job, men. Let's aim for 40. Maybe Tang wants 50.
40 threes in a game. Okay. I'm not sure that's going to be the path, but all right. And then the other big talking point yesterday, Bill Self talking about Darren Peterson. TJ, what was Self's diagnosis there?
He said he feels good. He's full speed, period. That's it.
Okay. I'll take it. Now, I think we all know what that means, though. He's full speed until he's not full speed, right?
Basically.
And that's okay. Like, again.
But the thing is, at this point, this is my gripe on it. If they're going to say that and they're not going to list him as an injury diagnosis on the injury report, which means nothing, but if you're not going to put him on there, like, then whenever it happens at the end of the game, it's a story all over. It's not, can't be expected anymore.
But isn't that our fault at this point? We have seen now 20 games. How far are we into this? Not 20, not quite 20. 15, 16?
Almost. Yeah.
So, like, it's been the same all year. So now expecting anything different, like, I'm to the point where that's on me. I have a very reasonable expectation of what we're going to see with Peterson. He will play, and then he will have to come out of the game late in the game because his leg doesn't hold up.
Right,
and
that's history.
We will see.
That's what history has shown you, but Bill Self sits on the press conference and says that that's not the case anymore.
Well, we'll just see. We'll get an idea with
question.
With,
he probably is.
Well, yeah. Player management, time management, bench management. That's going to be a fascinating, deal with this particular case. When he says he's ready to go, I don't know that that means he's ready to play. All the minutes
he hopes he is, and I think Darren Peterson probably hopes he is, unlikely.
I think that there will be a minutes restriction. Paul's right, and that's a different question than being healthy. You can be healthy and be on a minutes restriction, and that's probably what we're going to see this weekend.
I still want to see him start a game. Like, if it's just bizarre to me that it seems to hit at the same point every game. So one time, if it's hitting at the same point every game, maybe try to time it better and have it not hit at the end of the game by not starting him as early in the game. I still think bring him in at 10 minutes in the first half and see what happens, and then let him go and see if that 30 minutes that he can give you takes you through the end of the game. I get that, which doesn't make sense. I totally get it. I get it. But why not try it if we're just going to keep seeing the same thing over and over again? Boy, wouldn't you just love to see him come out and not have to leave the game and score 30 points and go wire to wire?
Manage it.
I want
then.
To see 50.
Yeah.
How good would that feel? Yeah. I mean, he could go 50, but if he goes 50, KU's not playing their best basketball.
It's true.
They need him to be a distributor at the same time, because
the other part of the conversation last night, my biggest takeaway from the Bill Self press conference, I don't know if you saw this part, this is what I ran last night on 12 News, is that Michael Swain, 247, asked him, how does the world coexist where Melvin Council is scoring and Darren Peterson is scoring? Because we haven't seen that. We've seen separate playmakers, separate play from each of them, but never together. And Bill Self basically said, well, listen, they're not Devontae Graham and Frank Mason. That's not how they play basketball. And he said, in a perfect world, Melvin Council's so fast that we can set him up and he'll be open, and it would make everything great if we can do it that way. But we're not there yet.
Yeah.
But we understand that that works.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear, because that's what I've tried, like, for my brain, like, unlocking that. When people are like, oh, shut down Peterson, they're better without him. You're not better without a guy that can score 32 points in 30 minutes. You're just not.
Boy, wouldn't we like to find out
how best utilize both.
Yeah.
Right, Paul.
Yeah,
and that's a challenge when you've got two alphas like that.
Right. I mean, how much fun would it be to see what they're capable of at the same time together? I think that would be fascinating. And it could be devastating to whoever they're playing. I mean, that's my take on it. Together, they could be twice as good. Sometimes that works out like that, doesn't it, guys?
Oh, it does, and it's not easy. Look, that's the other part. Like, we can't sit here and pretend like it's that simple. Just have them be awesome together. They
are
conflictive styles. That's a great point by Bill Self. But can they learn to be Frank Mason and Devontae Graham? I think they probably can.
Sure, they can.
It's just harder to do when Peterson has to come off and on the floor.
Say, you know what helps if Peterson plays more than 25 minutes
a
game. And we'll see that this weekend.
It's okay. Like, again, I think. Like, if I'm a KU fan right now, I'm so much more optimistic than I have been the last couple of years, because you can see, like, it's very obvious where the growth has come. The last couple of years, it's been like, how's this team going to get better? Where is it? I don't see it. We can all see it now. Like, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
We'll see if they can get it done. And by the way, we don't talk enough about how, man, Flora Badunga is so awesome. I love his style so much. All right. The other storyline we haven't gotten to, we ran out of time with Jalen Thompson. The Royals and FanDuel have terminated their contract. So correct me if I'm wrong, TJ, you were into this a little deeper than I was yesterday. We don't have right now a television outlet for the Royals. Like, is the plan just to be on MLB TV only?
Well, right now, FanDuel can renegotiate a contract if they wanted to do that and make it, if the Royals wanted to do that, I guess more so, because it would be a cheaper deal than what they were getting paid by FanDuel in the past. So the FanDuel missed payments to clubs. It seemed like, I don't know if that happened specifically with the Royals or not, but then it's been a mess. So I don't know if they'll do that or not, but basically Rob Manfred, the commissioner, basically just said that we'll figure it out. And that's not saying that it will be this or it will be that, but it's like, we'll get the game somewhere. And so he said that could be a third party, which we talked about yesterday. Third party could be how the Braves play on the Gray TV station in Atlanta. Like, you know,
we had Royals games on,
we could get more
last year.
Exactly. That may be an option. And then I think for the games that, you know, we wouldn't have, that could be MLB.com. You pay for MLB TV and you see the games there without blackouts. That's always been the issue with that, is the blackout restriction. So in a perfect world, honestly, that people have been talking about this, is that the MLB just takes all of them, takes away the blackouts on MLB TV, and then also puts some over the air. It's a, you know,
or puts them also all over the air, right? And then share that revenue with those television partners. I wish, God, that would make the experience so much easier if they did that. But at the same time, I mean, I'm a local TV honk. I'm like, man, if there's an opportunity there to get more Major League Baseball games on these local outlets, that would be really, really cool too. The great news is you'll hear all their games on KFH right here. No problem. That won't change. My drives become much better from home from work as I can tune into the Royals every day and every night. But it's an interesting, we're at that crossroads because there's a lot of teams in this spot, and it's been a problem for baseball for a very long time. I don't know what the financial best answer for baseball is. I'll say this, with that and a bargaining agreement on the horizon and a potential lockout and these TV deals, I'm not sure how much confidence I have in Rob Manfred to navigate these waters. And it scares me a little bit. I'll just be honest.
There's going to be some hot button stuff going down.
Between the locker room brawls with Bryce Harper and the ideas of having a split season and an in-season tournament. Like, I'm all for great ideas. I love the things Brett Yormark, for instance, is bringing to the table for the Big 12 and the outside of the box thinking. I almost never like Rob Manfred's ideas. I mean, I'm glad we got, I think the sport is better, so I'm not being totally fair, because the pitch clock and the bigger bases and the emphasis on stolen base, that's all made the game better. I need to probably be a little more fair,
right?
But I'm nervous right now for baseball.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Paul, we got a minute left. I want to read you this headline and let you react. Missouri senator has proposed to make the UFL St. Louis Battlehawks Missouri's official football team instead of the Kansas City Chiefs, solidifying that the caw is the law. What do you think about that?
I don't think that's a very good idea. I wish it was a good idea. More football, the better. But that's not going to be what he wants it to be. That's just not going to happen. Many a good organizations have taken on the NFL and lost, my friend.
You're nicer than I am. That's an idiotic thing to say. That's grandstanding to grandstand as a politician.
Guess what, guys? It doesn't matter who the official team of Missouri is. It does. Nobody cares.
So stupid. Like, get over it, guys. Like, all right, that's going to do it for us here on Sports Daily. Again, we mentioned that high school basketball scoreboard show here on KFH. That's at 10 o'clock tonight with TJ and gang. Looking forward to that. Dan Patrick follows us here at 11, followed by Jim Rome at 2. Saturday, you've got K-State hoops on KNSS and both NFL playoff games. Sunday, you get the NFL playoff games as well. You'll also have, shocker, men's basketball on KYN, that pregame at 1:30. Busy, busy sports weekend. We're going to have decisions to make between college basketball and NFL this weekend.
Guess what? I'm going to watch them both. I'll be sitting in an office with TVs on galore.
All right. We'll come back Monday. We'll talk about it all. Thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks to Tommy and Brandon and Paul for making picks with us. Thanks to Max for producing. We'll see you Monday.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.